May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. Well, we've heard it several times that Advent's a time to prepare. Advent is a time to wait. Advent is a time to anticipate and preparing for the Lord's second coming as well as for Christmas. And as long as we keep, you know, Jesus at the center of our thoughts and our hearts and our preparation, then we're fine. And we're waiting for Christmas to come. It's a fun time to be with family and friends. And also, we're waiting for the second coming of Jesus. And we're anticipating the second coming of Jesus. But what else? Well, today we hear the answer once again. Last week we heard about repentance, and today we're hearing about repentance. But what in the heck is repentance? What is repentance? It's simple. It's change. It's almost when we make an about face on our behavior from doing what we want all the time to turning around and changing and following what God wants, doing God's way, doing His will. So are we willing to change? It's real easy to pray about it. It's real easy to talk about it. But are we really willing to change? Are we willing to even admit that our sins truly hinder us? Our sins may hinder our behavior. They hinder our relationship with God Almighty, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Creator, our Father, our strength, and our brother. Our sins also hinder our ability, our personal ability, to respond to Him, to be responsible Christians to Him and to each and every one of us, our community and the world. Our sins hinder the way we obey God. But if we say yes, that we are willing to admit that our sins that we do have hinder us, then we have to change. And the Collect tells us how. I'm going to read it one more time. Stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us. And because we are sorely hindered by our sins, and here comes the how, let your bountiful grace and mercy speedily help and deliver us through Jesus. We can't change by ourselves. It's not going to happen. We change only by God's grace, by His strength that is in us, because we have the Holy Spirit in us, so we have the ability to be powerful Christians and to be saved and to turn away from our sins. But we have to be willing to do it. We also have God's mercy, and that's a comfort. Because when we fail, and I don't know about you, but I sin, and when I fail, I am comforted with the knowledge that God will forgive me if I go to Him and change my ways. But there's more. There's more. In our gospel today, we learn several things. First of all, and I think we knew this before today, John the Baptist was not a wimp. He was not afraid to speak out, to proclaim, to share God's truth and God's word. He followed God solely. God's will was the center, the only focus of that man's life. When I get to heaven, I can't wait to meet Him. If He came in here today, we'd probably all be shocked. He was not a wimp. He was not timid. He was empowered by God's Holy Spirit. But I have to admit, and Larry, I am glad that Larry was here today, but I love to read this. John said to the crowds that came out, In other words, flee? That's not good advice. You don't flee from the wrath to come. That's awful advice. And John, back to you, get it right in the eyes. You brood of vipers, what's the matter with you? You're not supposed to run away. But he doesn't leave him there. He tells them what they're supposed to do. Be personally responsible and accountable. That is the correct and good advice that he gives them. Pay attention to what God really wants. And then he's a very humble guy, even though he's very feisty. He's very humble and then he goes and he tells them again, he says, and don't say to yourselves that, well, we have Abraham as our ancestors. Well, he's, in other words, saying, so what? Abraham was great, but it's up to you to accept God's salvation and to accept God's will and to repent and change and to be true children of God. They were, and sometimes we too, are a little bit arrogant in depending on ourselves, not depending on God. And it's always good to reflect on the thought that God alone saves us. God alone saves us. And we are not to be willfully ignorant about that. God alone saves us. We are to depend on Him every morning. You know, talking to God, praying to God, sharing with God, and then listening to God. We are not also to ignore the fact that we do sin. If we do, we're lacking in our responsibility and we're lacking to God in our obedience to Him. Having Abraham as their ancestors and our ancestors really didn't matter. What matters is that each and every one of us is personally responsible to please our God. If we are truly believers, if we are truly Christians, God's beloved, that we really feel that we belong to Him. He's our daddy. Jesus is our family. He's our brother. We are His sisters and brothers. Then we are to recognize and accept that God loves all people. And He was telling them that day, not just a select few, but the entire crowd, even the tax collectors and the soldiers, anybody that came to John the Baptist, whether they were rich or poor, outcast, handicapped, brilliant, a Pharisee, a Sadducee, soldiers, anybody that came to John the Baptist for baptism was baptized. We are not to be arrogant. We are to realize that we are to be humble, just like John, knowing and doing what God expects from us each and every day. And what is that? What did He tell them to do? Because they kept saying, well, what can we do? What are we supposed to do? Well, He tells them. He says, well, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. In other words, we're supposed to share half of what we have, if you take this literally. The next thing is, and whoever has food must share their food with someone who has none. Sounds like what Jesus was teaching us too. To love others as we love ourselves. Like John the Baptist, we are to realize that God wants us to share with all people, no matter what. Whether it offends us or not, God loves everyone. Also, John the Baptist himself was not in it for personal glory. They were beginning to wonder and be excited and think that he's the Messiah. And he told them straight up. He said, oh, heck no. He said, I baptize you with water. Sure, he can teach us how to repent. But he says, but the one, the Lord, the true Messiah, the one who is more powerful than I, is coming, and I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This great prophet was telling them he wasn't even worthy enough to be Jesus' slave. John the Baptist was humble. He kept God at his center, and he kept God's people at the center of his life as well. And what did he do? Each and every day, he talked about repentance, and he talked about God. And at the end of the gospel, it says, "So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people." One of the Bible verses that I think about when I think of John the Baptist is from Micah, and it says, "He has showed you, O man, what is good." And John the Baptist took this and ran. And what does the Lord require of you? And this not only goes for John the Baptist and those people back then, but each and every one of us today. To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. Amen.